I know a lot of people were upset with, like, oh man, ESPN now going to ruin NFL coverage and all this other stuff. And one of the things I still don't understand is why people get so worked up about ESPN. ESPN is 24 hours of programming. And we can go back and forth about, like, the merits of the show getting criticized or not or anything, but we're talking about one show that people look at as ESPN ruining things, right? We're talking about First Take.
The countdown shows aren't great either.
Which countdown show?
NBA. I feel like it's all just gotten kind of stale. I think the issue with ESPN is just more so, like, it's just the only game in town. I mean, FS1 is out there, but let's be real, nobody watches that. No. Like, ESPN, I feel like this content just got kind of stale, and it's just the same thing over and over and over, and I just think people need variety.
But I don't know if it is, though. Like, we're talking about once Get Up and First Take are about the same. Do you think NFL Live is like First Take?
People aren't watching
NFL or NBA
Live,
Today?
No.
Or, like, we're talking about one, maybe two shows.
And I don't even know that that's what we're talking about. I think we're talking about a person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're talking about a person who, if you put Stephen A. on First Take, it'd be fine. But you don't. You put Stephen A. on First Take, then you put him on Countdown, then you put him on like seven different sports centers, and it gets to a point where during the basketball season, you can't turn on your television without seeing Stephen A. Smith. And I think that causes a level of resentment towards him. And it causes a massive level of resentment towards the company. Because it's like, look, if Stephen A. is not my bag. I do not enjoy him. I haven't respected him in a really long time. But I can't turn that network on now without seeing him. If I want to watch Scott Van Pelt, I probably have to watch Stephen A. Smith too. I could watch NFL Live. I could watch that. I could watch NFL Countdown. That's all fine. Like, those shows are fine. But NFL Sunday Countdown really isn't. There's no Sunday Countdown show that stands out. Not Fox, not CBS. They're all kind of the same to me. They all follow a similar formula. And it's not, none of the personalities, you know, outside Randy Moss, I was happy to read that he's back. I don't think it's, like, I think Alex Smith is good, really good. But outside that,
My personal outlook, I think the ESPN show is fantastic. I think they're the best out of the bunch. That Sunday Countdown, he gets a little stupid sometimes, and he probably got like Stephen A. type issues that people have with him. But when he really talks about football, I think Rex Ryan is really good. I think he does a really good job on there.
Yeah, but he gets bit by the ESPN bug sometimes.
He did pretty bad last year. I know that. And last year, like, he had some crazy takes.
Rex, you're right. You're 100% right. When Rex is talking football, it's interesting. But then he'll want the social media clip where he calls.
He's calling players trash.
That's a little too much.
Like, go off the deep end.
Yeah, for
Didn't
sure.
he say one of the jobs was basically his?
Wasn't it the Giants, I think?
Was it? Is that what it was?
Might have been the Giants.
Yeah. Like, the job's basically mine.
What?
All right.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, it was not.
But I guess my thing is, and by the way, inning double play by Logan Webb here to get out of things and, you know, stays at 1-1.
I'm telling you, hey, good stuff. You change the channel, fundamental play the third, get him out, turn two here, we're good. Like, I don't know what to say at this point.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like all the mistakes we were talking about, Bad News Bears, all that went out the window as soon as you flipped the channel.
Oh, man. But I think, like I said, Louis Riddick is on right here. Louis Riddick is terrific. They seem to be having a sensible conversation about the NFL right now. And it just, the outlook on ESPN seems to get lumped in with, like, things that people see on Twitter. Every now and then.
You're not wrong about NBA Today and NFL Live. I think those are their best two shows by far. But, like, look at the times that they're on. Like, over here, everyone's at work. Over on the East Coast, we talked about the other day, like, people aren't really tapped into what's going on until, like, later on in the night. Like, they do have those two shows, but ESPN don't even really feature them, I feel.
I feel like
they put everything else, the stuff that people are really kind of sick of, at the forefront a lot more now.
Some people like Pat McAfee. I don't think he's... I'm not the craziest fan of his show. It's fine. Like, I don't not like it, but he comes through and people seem to like his stuff. I don't know. I didn't think the NFL coverage was going to be or is going to be, if this goes through, like, go down the tubes because it's on ESPN. And everybody.
Oh, it's not.
Everybody thinks that once you get with ESPN and Disney, they ruin everything. Ah, I don't see it that way.
I do think once we get NBC Sports, like, doing their basketball stuff and Amazon, that'll be a lot better, I think, for everyone involved.
I was mad NBC Sports Network went away.
Might be back.
Is that
really?
No, yeah, might be back. That's great. Facts. Like, that's actually not, yeah.
I was mad that went away. I like that channel.
There's nothing set in stone, but there's talk now.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully baseball's not on it because I can't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
At least Giants baseball.
No, you're done. You don't care if they go on strike or not because you can't watch the games
anymore. Actually, put the game on real quick. I want to see some.
No. No. No, for nothing else, I don't want to do that to my boy Logan Webb. Rockland, stand up. I ain't going to do that to my man.
Shout out Rockland Thunder.
There was another TV note that we had. Jesse put another TV note. Whoa,
McGrady going to NBC
Tracy
Sports.
Basketball
coverage.
That's what it was.
T-Mac. I like hearing T-Mac talk about basketball. I like T-Mac himself.
I don't think I've heard T-Mac in a formal setting before. Like he's done NBA Today, but as like a guest. Mm-hmm. I've never heard him in a.
When he does interviews and stuff, he talks a little loose. Like T-Mac is not like all like buttoned up and formal. I think he's got personality.
He can be really good.
Yeah.
He could be, you know, everybody always gets compared to Charles, so I don't want to do that. But if somebody doing something he doesn't like,
yeah, T-Mac will talk.
It feels like he'll say it. I think he might be good. He's NBC as a studio guy, right? Or is it a game analyst?
I think he was studio.
No, I think
analyst.
He's studio.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think studio. He's studio. You know who he kind of might remind me of is like he might be like Gary Sheffield. If you've Gary.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, Gary talked that talk. So I feel like that might be what Tracy McGrady ends up being like.
Tracy McGrady, I don't know the right way to phrase this, but I feel like his legacy is kind of been one like a player, like it's turned up since he retired. I feel like people a lot more now, like they'll talk up Tracy McGrady. Like, I guess not like he wasn't like this great player or whatever, but like I feel like his legend is starting to grow a little bit more. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, like T-Mac was one of them, like one of those guys for this period of time or whatever. Like, he was like Kobe, he was like so and so.
I think every once in a while people need to be reminded Tracy McGrady was really the top. Say top five. I was gonna say top three player in the league.
Led the league in scoring a couple.
Yeah, he's like Tracy was incredible.
How Casey says that kids talk about like or players now or young players talk about like Paul George. I feel like that's how players back then talk about Tracy McGrady, I guess, or is that generation?
Well, I was. I don't remember if I was talking or just actually might have just been when you were here and I was talking to myself. Mm-hmm. But you know, I had said something about LeBron being the, you know, the greatest ever. And I guess people were listening for the first time ever and didn't know that I felt that way. And it, you know, started a conversation about LeBron and Mike. And as I like reflected on that conversation, I, you know, when you talk about the greatest player of all time, I do think you're talking about those two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start ranking things like, you know, impact and, you know, you can change different words from, you know, greatest of all time to most influential of all time. And as I started to think about influence, it's like, well, Mike is one. But I think Kobe's second.
I think he is too.
And I want to put LeBron next. But Allen Iverson is staring me dead in my face. And I don't know whether to put I think LeBron's influence is on a business side. Like I've always maintained my next chapter doesn't happen if I'm taking my talents to South Beach doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like I think you could make a very fair argument that LeBron James ushered in the player empowerment era. But man, when you look at, I mean, even you start throwing in Steph. Mm-hmm. And what he's done with like a particular play on a basketball floor, I start to wonder how far down that list LeBron falls. And again, you can make arguments everywhere.
Yeah.
But the main thing that stood out to me is Mike is definitively number one because kids who never saw him play rock his logo. That's influence. Mm-hmm. I think Kobe's second. Well before the tragic ending to his life, I think Kobe is second.
Right.
And that's where you get into, is Steph next? Is AI next? Is LeBron next? Like, how do you, when you talk about influence, LeBron starts to fall, he could fall a little bit further down that list. But if nothing else, it's not a two-person conversation like the greatest of all time might be.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. I agree with you. For sure, just because of the nature, in my opinion, the nature of LeBron's game. I mean, there's not, it's a lot of power, brute force, skill for sure, but it's not, there's not any real defining qualities of LeBron's game, at least on the offense. His most defining quality is probably the chase down block. You know what I mean? That people might try and replicate throughout the years. Whereas Kobe has fadeaways, his crossovers, his dunks, same with Jordan, same with Iverson, Steph has a three ball, all that other stuff. So when you talk about influence in that way, that lives on for generations, LeBron might trickle down that list just a little bit. I don't think he falls out of top 10, but he trickles down a little bit. But Monty Jones had an interesting, did you see his comment about if you had to pick a basketball player? He's ranking the,
I don't think.
He's doing something about the top 20 players in all the sports or from 2000, something like that. And he got to talking about Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you lined up all the basketball players that ever played and you start picking teams and you take the centers out of it, because that's just a different equation because they're centers. He said, it's probably Jordan. I think he's settled on LeBron and Kevin Durant. Like, that's who he is as a basketball player. I might put Kobe and Durant ahead of LeBron. That doesn't mean I think they're better players than LeBron, but their skill set. That sticks with me when somebody said one time, like 05 to 08 Kobe,
yeah,
there might not have been a better player that ever played, insane, more complete player. He could do everything. He was like a 99 club type player.
One MVP is absurd.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd.
He could do everything. That always sticks in my head because that person was right. Like, he could do everything. Mike couldn't even shoot the three ball like Kobe could shoot the three ball at that particular time. But Kevin Durant, like, I got him in my top 10 list, but man, should he be higher one day? Kevin Durant is insane.
He's 10 right now. Go get another ring.
Damn.
He's 10. I mean, that's good.
Would you, in that scenario, taking the centers out of the equation, would he be like a top 3 pick that you would make, like trying to pick a team?
Kevin Durant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest scorers of all time, if not the greatest
scorer. Yeah, I think so.
It might just be Mike.
He's one of the most unique players the league has ever seen. Like, Steph is one of the most skilled players we've ever seen. LeBron's probably the most complete player we've ever seen. Durant, like,
there's no comp.
There isn't. When Durant came out of Texas, there was no, he's like, it was just like, hey, this kid out of Texas.
Well, I don't think you can point at a player that plays now. It's like, oh, yeah, that's Kevin Durant right there.
No. There's nobody that plays like him. Even the guys that are tall, that can move, that we see, like even somebody's mentioned Wemby in there. Wemby's tall and can move. He's not like Kevin Durant, though. Kevin Durant is 6'11", almost 7 foot, and moves like Kyrie damn near. Like that, we ain't never seen nothing like that.
I remember the first time I saw Kevin Durant in person. It was his rookie year at the All-Star game. He came to the Nike suite it was the first time I looked at a basketball player and thought, he's really awkward. Like, because he's just so long. Like, his arms go on forever. Mm-hmm. And he wore a shirt that barely, it was like a graphic tee-like shirt that barely went to his waist with, like, skinny jeans. You know, it was rookie year Durant. This isn't, you know, $500 million later Kevin Durant. Not that his style has changed much, but still. I was like, God, it's just an awkward-looking guy.
Yeah. If he gets his two rings with a completely different team, I think he's higher on that all-time list. If he gets to four, he's one of the greatest players of all time.
He's absolutely punished by winning rings with the Warriors. Yeah. Like, he's absolutely punished. Which is, it's such a, it's just, it's not real. Like, it's acting like Steph would have four rings without Kevin Durant is insane.
He's a 15-time All-Star, 11-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year, MVP, man. Two-time Finals MVP, two-time All-Star MVP, top 75, four-time scoring champ. And those other years he wasn't a scoring champ, he's probably top three a lot of those years.
And he's one of those guys that, where he goes, it shifts the balance of power in the league. Or at least Phoenix is probably the one place it didn't, right? But he goes to Golden State, it changes everything. He goes to Brooklyn, instant title contenders.
Mm-hmm. Does he get that ring if his foot's not on the line, I think, for that one shot?
Man, there's a good argument for it.
And if he does get that ring, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, not this. Yeah, we're not talking about this.
Where would he? Okay, so let me ask you this.
Because that's his team. Like, they won't acknowledge that Warriors, that Warriors team was Steph's, but he was the best player on it. That Brooklyn team was his.
To me, it doesn't play a factor, right? Like, I got him at 10 all time. I don't move him ahead of Steph or anything else like that. But I also don't knock him for having the two titles with the Warriors. Like, he's a two-time NBA champion, and he's a top 10 player because of that. For others, do you think, say they have him at 10 as well? If he wins is he above Kobe?
He'd be a top five player all time. He'd be top five. Honestly, if he got that ring in Brooklyn, like, I got him top 10 too. If he had the ring in Brooklyn, I'd have him top five, I think. Like, if you go to his basketball reference page and just look at his numbers and just everything, it's insane. Like, if he had that ring, and that's what he needed to. If you were to get that ring with Brooklyn, that would have shut everyone up about the Warriors. That would have answered everyone's questions. All right, KD can do it, blah, blah, blah. He's the bus driver, not the bus rider, whatever they call it. Like, that would have answered everything. Because he has everything you need right now.
That's your list, so I can't speak. But that can't get him ahead of Kobe and Steph and Shaq.
If he's the greatest scorer of all time.
I wonder about Shaq. That feels disrespectful. They're similar players in the regards of, like, Shaq. Durant was dominant in a different way. Mm-hmm. You couldn't guard him. Hell, I don't know that you can guard him today.
Right. Right. You're gonna,
like, who do you guard him with? Like, yeah. How do you?
He's going to get whatever.
Like, what
he
do
wants
you do?
Still.
Shaq's dominant in a different way. Shaq's just
once again, couldn't guard him.
Yeah, like, Shaq is just the most dominant, damn near athlete I think I've seen in my lifetime. Not for as long of a period as I think he could have been, but certainly for a stretch to where I will never forget watching Shaquille O'Neal play basketball. We'll come back. I guess that was our break from the Sacramento Kings. James is going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. I don't know if things have been happening today, but people have certainly been talking, including our buddy, the Hall of Famer, Mark Spears, saying Jonathan Kuminga wants to come and play in Sacramento. There's very specific reasons why. We'll talk about that. It's Dylan with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Charlie clearly waiting to speak to us. He's like, is this a short break? Yeah, we're back. Oh, all right. God, it's been an eventful day with just words.
That's it.
Like, nothing's happened, but it feels like a lot has happened. I'll say this. One thing that has absolutely happened from a personal perspective, I guess, my opinion on what the Sacramento Kings are doing in this Jonathan Kuminga conversation is completely changed. I thought they were looking at a situation where they were like, hey, maybe we could take to this. hey, we like him. He's a good young player. Like, they don't want him. Maybe we could do something here. Mm-hmm. That's how it going. And then I also felt like the problem walking away from this.
Right.
I don't feel that way anymore. I don't think Scott Perry is interested in doing something that he considers a bad move or a bad step for the franchise. But I think my true understanding of the Sacramento Kings' interest in Jonathan Kuminga was put on display today. Hmm. I did not really... To me, it is very clear the Sacramento Kings aren't just on the outskirts interested in Jonathan Kuminga. They want Jonathan Kuminga to be a part of this basketball team, and they have a very specific role for him, and they want to use him as a piece to build out post DeMar, LaVine, you know, some of these guys. Like, they want to take a step to perhaps building the next chapter of their future right now, and they want to do that with Jonathan Kuminga.
Does, you know, feeling this way about it now, does it change how aggressive you think they should be to get a deal done?
It's a little different. It's a little different because I feel like the Kings, publicly we know the Kings and the Suns. Mm-hmm. If there's a third team or a fourth team or a fifth team.
But whose side are they on?
The Kings have to know that.
Yeah.
The Kings have to know who that is, and they have to weigh themselves against them.
Mm-hmm.
They also have to weigh Kuminga's interest in them.
Mm.
Mark Spears said on television today that Jonathan Kuminga wants to come to the Sacramento Kings. Mm. Okay? In the same conversation, we looked at what Phoenix has to offer. The Golden State. Dear Warriors talk. Dubs world. You think Carter and Saric is bad? Go take a look at what Phoenix can throw your direction. You want a bunch of second round picks, hey, salute. But you could get a young rookie player that really is, and I've tried to take this mentality with him. We don't know exactly what Devin Carter is in the league. I'm not a fan. You were a little bit more of a fan at the end of the year than I was. Like, you see the game a little bit different, so I'll lean on you for that, but I don't know. But if I'm Golden State, I'm like, man, this kid, he could defend. Like, he's there's probably some things we could do with him. Mm. We started talking about picks and, like, oh, Golden State, they don't want a protected first round pick. They want an unprotected first round pick. Fine, bro, take it. Not in 2028, not 2029, not in 2030. But if y'all want 2026 or 2020, hey, go ahead. Also, you can't have two.
No,
to be clear, you can have one.
Right.
And if you want a second round pick just to make you feel like you did something, fine.
Yeah.
But in terms of, and I wasn't here for the original discussion, but you have made me aware of it. In terms of being aggressive and taking Devin out and putting Keon in, I'm not interested in doing that.
Mm.
I feel like I believe more in who Keon is as a basketball player than I do Devin Carter. And I don't want the Kings to lose Keon Ellis.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. The other interesting thing to me that I'd like to know more about, if there is more to talk about, is we know Jonathan Kuminga met with the Kings front office, Scott Perry, B.J. Armstrong. They laid out how they view Jonathan Kuminga and what they would do if he was on the Kings. Has Jonathan Kuminga talked to Phoenix at all?
Mm-hmm.
And does he have an idea of how they look at him? I would assume he'd get an opportunity to start and do a whole lot of things because they don't have a whole lot on the roster. So I think it would probably be about the same opportunity. But we don't even know if they've talked at this point the way we know the Kings and Kuminga have talked. So are there potential plans to talk? I don't know. That's something that maybe we'll find out in the coming days.
Yeah, that will be – I mean, I have to assume they've talked because with a list – or not a list, but with a group of teams that small, and to a degree, parties seeming to work together, meaning Jonathan Kuminga's team and the Golden State Warriors, I have to imagine that Jonathan Kuminga has talked to the Phoenix Suns. Mark Spears made the remark about Kuminga's interest in Sacramento today. Mm-hmm. I have to assume that conversation is done, been happened.
It happened last, whenever Summer League was.
Mm-hmm.
So we got, Slater said it last week on here. What was that, Thursday or Friday? He talked about it. He said they met in Vegas, the front office in Kuminga.
So our front office or theirs?
Ours.
Yeah, okay. Kings and Kuminga had contact.
Okay, so. Right. Yeah.
So that was the first time to anybody's knowledge that they had spoke.
Sure.
So it was a little noteworthy, and they talked about it, and I don't
think it's outrageous to say he probably met with Phoenix the same day or same time frame.
Could be. Yeah, for sure it could be. I only ask and I speculate because we haven't heard anything about that.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Let's. Matt will be here tomorrow. Locked on Phoenix. Let's see if we can find out. Let's let Manny get his promo off. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up, Manny?
What's up, dude? Man, thank God you're back, man.
I got a little crazy. It's good, man. It's good. We here.
I got a question for you about
Leezy's biggest fan here.
Do you think any of this is him trying to get leverage, right? He doesn't want to sign there. He doesn't want anything to do with Golden State, as far as we know, regardless of what the offer is. And at this point, him and his side wanting to, like, I don't even know who has leverage anymore, right? But he wants out. And for him to get out, he's going to have to keep pushing buttons, it feels like. So do you think he's using the Kings at all as leverage? No. And it's not necessarily the Kings that he wants to go to?
No, I don't think so. That doesn't. What's the end game? Like, the end game is getting out of Golden State, but what if you wind up in Sacramento?
I think he'd be happy in Sacramento. I do think that that's one of the destinations he'd like to get to. But I also just wonder if it's not Sac, right? Because there's so many things Sac has to do, too, to make all this work, even if they get him. So, but good thing is we do have Matt on tonight at the
chat room,
where he's going to join us for a little half-hour excursion, and we'll ask him a couple of these questions, and we'll see. We'll dive into some of his Lord of the Rings lore, too, and let him get his stuff off on that. So don't forget to join us tonight, 8 p.m., ESPN 1320, YouTube, Twitch, even on X. So
good stuff,
there,
man.
You go. There
that's
you go.
Good stuff, man. That's sure. Good timing right there. Appreciate you, Manny. That's good timing, man, to have Matt George on.
Yes,
Matt's done a great job on this story over the last few weeks. I actually just pulled up his Twitter account, to see what he might have said over the course of the last few hours. And here's what Matt most recently wrote. If the Kings and Kuminga feel this is good about a future partnership, it makes even more sense for the Kings to stand firm with their low sign and trade offer. Sure, a lot can change in a year, but the Kings have the time to wait until next season to just sign Kuminga as an unrestricted free agent. Sac can afford to be more patient than the Warriors, who are trying to maximize their window with Steph and Jimmy. That's what Matt George wrote most recently on Twitter. I don't think I agree with him, though. The Kings have the time to wait. I'd never agree with that. I never agree with that.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I understand Matt's point. But what could change next year? Also, you're removing players from your roster. Mm-hmm. And perhaps in this case, more importantly, you're removing salary from your books.
Right.
Signing outright, that's a completely different proposition. And I know part of DeMar's salary changes next year, but LaVine is still here, and I don't even know how partially guaranteed contracts work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have to cut him by a certain day before it becomes guaranteed. I remember Chris Paul, I remember Chris Paul once had a contract where it was like, well, he's either going to be due like $10 million or he's going to be due $30 million. It depends on if they cut him or not. I assume that's what the case is with DeMar DeRozan, but I'm not entirely sure. The outgoing dollars, and in this case, the outgoing players, I think are important to the equation as well. Mm-hmm. So I disagree with Matt a little bit in the sense that you could just wait until next season. I don't feel like you could do that. But at the same time, I agree with Matt. I'm not wavering too much from my offer. Like, we can find a way to salt. You've got the filet in front of you. Mm-hmm. We can find a way to, you know, salt. Maybe we throw a little onion powder in addition to the salt and pepper, but you ain't getting the mashed potatoes. I don't know why. That was I don't know where that analogy
came. That's a bar right there.
It's a bar.
Clearly, I'm hungry. Sitting around drinking protein shakes isn't doing it for you, boy.
Man, for me, it starts to become a fine line between being shrewd and making sure you're not negotiating against yourself. And I don't really want them that bad. Like, I'm the type of person, this is probably why I have so many tennis shoes, right? Like, what do I always tell you? If you want it, go get it. You're not going to.
You are like a horrible influence.
If you want it, go get it.
Literally everybody's worst friend.
If you want it, if you want what you're trying to get that bad, go do what you got to do, get it, right? Because at the end of the day, if it's everything that you hoped it would be or expected it to be, you're not going to miss what you gave up to get it, because you'll be just enjoying what you had, whether that's retail or sometimes whether that's basketball players, right? It's starting. There's a fine line. I want to make sure I'm not giving up too much. I want to make sure that I'm not overpaying for in this trade situation where there's not a whole lot of options. But at the same time, like, how do you, if the Kings really want Jonathan Kuminga, they really want it, how do you think they would feel, or how should they feel if they miss out on him? Like, if it's a shrug of the shoulders, then you didn't really want him that bad to begin with.
What if the idea is, yeah, no, we want Jonathan Kuminga. We don't want him at the expense of multiple first-round picks, or we don't want him at the expense of Keon Ellis. We want him in addition to the draft capital that we have moving forward. This is why I have a lot of respect for the stance that Scott Perry is taking right now. And it's, we're, for the maybe the first time in this franchise's history, we're looking past next season. We're trying to look ahead. Yes, we want Jonathan Kuminga here with this team right now, mm-hmm. but we also want to use the acquisition of Jonathan Kuminga to help build out what we can do moving forward when the likes of Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are gone.
Right.
We need that draft capital to do that. We need a young ball stopper, a tenacious defender like Keon Ellis to do that. We need Keegan Murray to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm like, one can't come at the expense of the other. Mm-hmm. So if you really want Jonathan Kuminga, you have to find a way to do it in the realm of still being able to do what you're trying to establish moving forward. Mm-hmm. Sustainable winner mm-hmm. is the phrase that Scott Perry used in that introductory press conference.
Right, and I'm with all that, but it also comes down to, like, and what a lot of people are saying is, I don't want Jonathan Kuminga. If I had to pick between the two, and Keon Ellis, that's maybe oversimplifying it a little bit, but people are saying, like, if I got to pick right now between these two, I'm gonna take Keon Ellis. I don't want Jonathan Kuminga that. And there's mm-hmm. levels to everything, right? Like, yeah, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, but I wouldn't trade, I don't know, Kings players really love on this team right now. But trade Sabonis for him. You know, I don't love him that bad. You know what I mean? So there's definitely levels to it. But there becomes a fine line between being shrewd and like, I don't really want him that bad. I'd like to have him, but I don't really want him that bad. I'm with you. I love how.
I do not think that's how the Kings feel. I don't think it's, I don't really want him that bad. I don't think it, again, we don't know what the financial offer is, but we have to believe it's competitive with Phoenix, or we wouldn't even be having a conversation in my mind if it wasn't competitive with Phoenix. It sounds like just putting two pieces of the Shams Charania puzzle together, the Phoenix offer is in the vicinity of 4 years approaching $90 million. That's not a, oh, we kind of want him offer. That's an offer.
Right.
That's a piece of our franchise offer. It also makes the Keegan Murray conversation interesting because you're starting to set a price for Keegan, which we admittedly don't know what it is. Like what we can't figure out what Keegan Murray's contract extension should be.
Yeah.
But if you pull off this Kuminga deal, at the very least, you've established the floor.
Right.
And I think we all had him above 90, so I don't think it's really a big deal, but it's something you have definitely put in place.
Right. Yeah. And I, much like you, I'm happy that the Kings have a person in power and in this position that has the ability to be shrewd, has the ability to, like you mentioned, look a couple years forward, but also have an understanding of the league and the market. Mm-hmm. This goes all the way back to what we said at the first initial reports of all of this, is, and it stood out to me immediately, there's a reason why this was the offer. You know what I mean? There's a reason.
Right.
Scott Perry, it was so random. And it was so low that it had to be for a reason, in my opinion. It had to come from a position of understanding the marketplace, understanding what was going on around the league and what his market was around the league. And I think he still understands that right now to this day. And it's just good to have a person like that in a position of power, in a position to make these moves.
Had this story, and I'm serious, had this story not broke, if Matt had tucked this scoop away and things had, you know, no one in Detroit really talked about it. Like if this thing had just gotten quiet and the Warriors fan base didn't have the opportunity to react the way that they did to the news, do you think this deal would already be done?
It might be.
Okay, I've been kind of holding on.
I'm dead serious.
I've been holding on to this question because I don't know if it was kind of like, oh, no, let them do that. But I've been wondering how much of the Warriors' pride is just keeping this deal from happening.
I think that's a perfectly fair question.
We said that when it started. Joe Lacob don't want to look dumb.
I was going to say it wasn't the pride that was holding on to it. It was the owner.
We could talk about like the return for like Dale Carter and Sarge or whatever you want, but like the Warriors clearly have no wins here or whatever. And it's just I don't know. Like I said, they've been talking. Is how much of it is just pride at this point? Why they haven't taken the deal?
And misinformation and misunderstanding of the market.
Mm-hmm.
They're holding on to this notion that they can get something drastically better than Devin Carter, Sarge, and a first-round pick. When who knows what might happen? You may come across a better deal in a week or so. Maybe the Bulls say, "Hey, let's get into sweepstakes right now," and you could get, you know, I don't know who, just a random, marginally better player than Devin Carter. Maybe it happens, but they think they could get starters. Mm-hmm. And a young player, like, are you guys, Mike Dunleavy Jr., are you not paying attention to, are you not paying attention to what's going on in the league right now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. Yaz just made an unreal catch.
I'd love to know, but I'm not allowed to watch
anymore. Yeah, go ahead and sit this one out, big bro.
Yaz would have flipped over and
I will describe
dropped
it to you
the
right
ball.
See, he's But I think it's right field line. Oh, he jumped into the netting. He caught him.
Land jumps over the wall into the netting. What a catch.
Can I at least get a score update? Or?
It's 1-1 still. 1-1.
Boy, this would be a real
7-1.
It'd be a real fun game to watch in the studio, but
put the game on for 5 seconds. No, I just want to see what happens.
Let's do it. We might as well. This team stinks. They're not going anywhere.
Logan's out. Okay, if Logan's out, I'll do it. I didn't want to do my man.
It's
1-1
in the top of the eighth, one out. And from this moment on, we'll see what happens with this game.
This relief pitcher is about to lose it right now. He's not gonna be able to find the strike zone.
Just to be clear, Giants fans, oh, what a catch. Kenny Tillman put it over here.
Yeah, we're done. We're at 500. We were 2 games back like a month and a half ago. Now we're 9. It's over. I don't think the Warriors, though, read the market well at all. I don't know if they still are reading the market well.
It's just a... Like, I understand the game. Like, I know what we're doing. But at some point, you got to understand the pieces that are on the board. You don't have the pieces to pull the, we're going to cut the sign and trade talks off. Mm-hmm. Bro, you don't, no one believes you. You can't afford to do it. Mm-hmm. Again, do you want a little or do you want nothing? Because it's not like Scott Perry has not called them and went, no, Mike, hey, come on, man, it's me. No, man, okay. If I'm Scott Perry, go ahead. Because again, Royce O'Neal.
We've got to run in real quick, Matt George on the phone lines.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, well, man, we cooking. Matt George, I just want to be clear, this does not supplement your appearance tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:15. What's up, Matt?
Did I ruin Jonathan Kuminga to Sacramento? Is it my fault?
Let me ask you the question that I just asked these guys. If that story had not bubbled, and you were at the forefront of that, and I know your friends in, once upon a time Detroit was a part of this. Your buddies in Detroit jumped on this, and all of those people saying there's no substantial talk between Sacramento and Golden State. Them hoes have fallen real quiet recently. Do you think that if the Warriors fan base had not had the opportunity to react to Devin Carter and Dario Saric, that this deal with Jonathan Kuminga would be done?
I feel like it would be a lot further along than it is right now, at least, because that's where I was feeling confident in saying when it first came out that these talks were pretty advanced. And as soon as that word advanced came out, that's when there was no on both sides that came out very, very quickly, right? So, look, maybe, King's Reddit's right. I'm the problem. My fault. I got one little scoop, and I put it out there, and I killed Jonathan Kuminga to Sacramento.
Here's what I've learned. Stay off Reddit. That is a dark web over there, man. You got to stay off Reddit, Matt. Two, you did a great job. You covered this story. I love Anthony Slater. He is our guy.
That is our guy.
He is on this show. He was one of them people who said, nah, there's nothing here. Ant was just on television talking about this story for his new network at ESPN. So, Matt, you've been ahead of this story from day one. I just wonder that if maybe it started on day two instead of day one. What would the reaction be? Because the reaction from Warriors fans was crazy. Yeah. Then their media jumped in on it. Bonte waited 9 days to go on the radio and laugh about it when it seems like this thing is very, very real. And then when you compare it against Phoenix, man, Sacramento looks like they've got the golden ticket offer.
It's the same position I feel the Kings have been in for weeks. This is what it is. We're comfortable walking away. Something I texted you, D'Lo, before I called was, I know for a fact the Kings really want Kuminga. Mm. Casey, you've been talking about, I don't think it's a case of a shrug-the-shoulders thing at all, like you said. The Kings, and I'm not saying you said that, I mean, you're wondering if that's what it was. Right. The Kings really want Kuminga, and I don't think that's just the front office. I think Doug Christie really likes the idea of having Jonathan Kuminga in Sacramento. This is an opportunity that's there. The Kings are just not in a position where they feel they need to be the ones to fold or budge. They feel like patience is on their side, time is on their side, which is kind of what I alluded to in the tweet that you read out earlier, D'Lo. It's just Sacramento's in the spot that they're in, and they're not a Jonathan Kuminga away next year from competing for a championship, and the only team worried about a championship window right now is the team in Golden State. So, or the team in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the position that we're in, and it's fun. But I'll take the blame. I ruined the Kuminga trade. It's okay. I'll happily take that on and put that on my resume.
Well, you didn't ruin it, because it's clearly, you know, there's something happening. Like there's this thing is still bubbling, but you're doing a great job, Matt. Keep covering the story.
Yes, sir.
We'll be watching you tonight on the Chatty House after party, and we're really really looking forward to our conversation tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour.
D'Lo, thank God you're back. These two tired of trying to trade Keon.
See how
the media does it. Look how Leezy George is doing things. He hears what he wants to hear.
Appreciate you, Matt. I'm here. I will calm everything down. We'll come back. We'll talk to Buddha in just a heartbeat. And we'll talk to James Hamm. He'll be with us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
For a week.
Well. Yeah, I think that might be the case.
Oh, real quick, another while you...
Because Lord knows I'm not leaving by myself anymore, so...
another...
Just found out we're doing a show in the Everglades.
Well, yeah.
Jesse's favorite tour destination.
What did I just choose instead of...
Oh, you said Magic Mountain. America.
You said roller coasters.
You chose the Everglades.
Yeah, I did choose the Everglades, yeah. I'm not getting on the Grizzly.
Dino and Casey live from the Everglades soon. We'll talk to sales.
Let's make it happen. While you were away, the Odyssey Day at the ballpark was a day game where the River Cats were playing and pictures were taken and everybody had such a great time.
Mm-hmm. Except the sports guys.
Some of the sports guys were there.
Oh, yeah. That's what the whole thing. Some people that you thought were on your side.
Wait, who was there? Oh, did the insiders show up?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
Boss Man Charlie was there.
Yeah.
Joe Charlie. Brazil was there.
Come on, man. People you thought was on your side. Not, mind you, Giants' number one prospect, Bryce Eldridge, it's a walk-off home run at the game.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that would have been great to see. That would have been cool. Even better, a lot of the people left before the walk-off home run.
They didn't leave back here, KC.
No, I didn't see him come through these doors. It's fine now. It's good.
I feel the need to be honest with both of you.
Okay, I think you're going to say, go ahead.
But whose side is he on?
Wait.
We were supposed to go to that game.
Okay, yeah. That's what we were talking about. You mentioned it like the week before. He's going to a Rivercats game. I was like, why would we go to that?
We were supposed to go to that game because we were off, but we were here.
Uh-huh.
So we were going to go, and I told Bill, I was like, yeah, Katie and I will come. But I didn't look at the calendar first. Katie had an appointment that she had been waiting like 4 months to get. It was at 1 o'clock. There was no way around it. So I hit up Bill and JC. I was like, guys, I'm sorry. That's my fault. I jumped the gun. We can't go. So we wound up not going.
You know what? I was
that
like,
photo op would have been crazy.
I was kind of like, whatever, you didn't go. It's fine. But now that you were planning on going, now I feel some way about it.
Now I remember when the invite went out and I wasn't like I hadn't planned to have that time off yet.
Yeah,
I felt some type of way. Like, oh, we're going to the ballpark at noon on a Wednesday.
Also, we were trying to figure out here, is Sutter Health Park, is that like Wrigley Field of the 80s? No lights, only day games? Because if that's the case, that makes sense why we would do that at 12:30, because they only play day games.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, they have lights.
I believe they do.
Oh, they play night games.
They do.
The A's played yesterday night, actually.
That's right.
Yep.
So we could have all as a company gone to a regular night game.
Yeah. No, but you know what the difference is? You know how these people work. You know what the difference is?
What's that?
That's my personal time. I'm not going to a work event on my personal time. You want me... You want me to go to a work event? Schedule it during work time.
You want me to go to a work event? Schedule it during work time.
Thank you. Right on cue.
Could you Can you imagine the moment that would have hit if we were looking through those pictures and it's like, wait, what? Is that Damien?
The show would have stopped. Yeah, we would have stopped. We would not have talked about anything else for the next 2 hours.
That would have been the biggest heel turn on this show of all time.
Oh, that would have been amazing. That would have been amazing. I actually hate that we didn't go now.
Joe was even in the comments like, no, it was actually a good time, guys. We're like, what, hey, you were there?
No, Joe was trying to, next time we'll go, guys. Yeah, don't tell me with a next time.
Like, Joe, sit your ass down.
You know,
Joe's been going to the ballpark, Disneyland. He's having a hell of a month.
He is, man. July has been his month. So this Kuminga and Kings Warriors triangle.
Let's get Buddha real quick.
Oh, yeah,
Buddha. Let's talk with Buddha real quick before, because James is going to join us, and then, you know, we're off and running. 916-909-1320. Buddha, what's good, man?
What's good, family? How my boys doing?
We good, man. How you doing, dog?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I'm doing magnificent, man. I'm hearing my boy JK try and come to sack. I'm glad Scott Perry getting respect, man, because when Pascal was on the Kings radar, he didn't want to come, so it's good to see things changing a little bit. And I think we should get JK by any means, to be honest, because that's the uber-athletic wing that we've been looking for. Like, I can see lineups like with Dennis, Zach, Keegan, JK, and Sabonis, and Dennis throwing lobs to Zach, Sabonis, and JK. Keegan, you feel me? Like, it'll be a movie out there. I think it'll be real exciting. I think it's a good team that could grow to be great. Because JK, it would be good spacing already, because he would be replacing DeMar. And DeMar, he can knock it down, but JK, he can do the same. And he add more rim protection than DeMar did. So I think it would be a real good fit. And I don't think that Carter deal getting off. So, I mean, I have to give up Keon, because it's harder to find a wing than a guard, to be honest.
Buddha, when you say by any means necessary, you're talking about Keon Ellis?
Yeah, because okay. Like I said, it's harder to find a wing than a guard.
I got you. Okay. Appreciate you.
Shout out, Buddha. Buddha was cooking. Buddha was, he was spitting knowledge. I agree with it. I don't know about any means necessary with Jonathan Kuminga, but I agree with a lot of what he said. But I was a little distracted because I was well aware that Buddha has not had one of his breaks today. Did you hear the different tone, the speed of how he was talking?
Yeah.
He was just this is what we need to do. We did it. When Buddha's had one of his breaks, dude, I'm telling you what we need to do. We need to go get that boy.
Buddha, I think, has had two of those in like,
I don't feel like I've heard
years.
One.
Yeah. One of them was like a couple months ago. It was like, man, Buddha sound different. And then he called back. It was like, oh, no, there he is. Go ahead, Jesse.
We're just talking stuff. Matt George, please don't hurt us. But how are the Kings just marginally better if they add Kuminga and move off of Keon? Like, how much better would they be at that point?
Because
people are so just, I guess, and like Casey said it too, like probably not moving off of Keon and all that, but everyone's just so hellbound. No, Keon, not Keon, not Keon. How much better is it making the Kings, though, if you were to do that deal? Because ultimately that's the angle here, right?
I think, yes.
I know there's like context, like you don't need to move off of Keon because the Warriors don't have leverage, this, and that, but just purely speaking, how much better are the Kings here?
I think, and this is why I don't necessarily understand. I understand it because I love Keon and I think Keon is a winning basketball player. So I understand it from that standpoint. But Jonathan Kuminga, to a certain degree, would potentially fill the void and represent everything that all these people are saying they want from the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
A future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody's want. That's what you guys want to tank. You want to tank for Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
And you said that's what they need to be doing the whole time. And when it's like, you can do it, but you got to give up Keon Ellis. Like, no way. Like, he's not even a winning player. Keon, that's what, once again, I understand because I love Keon like everybody else does. But I don't understand how both of those things work.